flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Good morning and Happy New Year. 2025 is upon us. It is 10 hours old. What are you doing to start 2025? I'm curious, but in the meantime, thanks for spending the beginning of 2025 right here with us. Dan Ball with you, in for Jones and Keefe here on this Wednesday, just after 10 o'clock here on January 1, 2025. Happy New Year to you all. Thanks so much for being with us here this morning. We're taking you up until 1 o'clock. We have a trio of college football games as the college football playoff rolls on into the new year. We already have one of our quarterfinal games done. Penn State, a winner last night. So they are moving on. They beat SMU 38-10 in the first round, presented by Allstate, not that you care. So the game's coming up today. Number 5, Texas, and number 4, Arizona State. That's at 1. Then you have number 1, Oregon, taking on number 8, Ohio State. And number 2, Georgia, against number 7, Notre Dame, at 8:45. All of those games can be heard right here on WEEI beginning at 1 o'clock. They'll take you through the remainder of the evening with that coverage of those games. To get you set for those games, we'll be talking with Max Chadwick of Pro Football Focus. He's a college football analyst. He's going to join us on the show here at 12:20 this afternoon as we take you up until 1 o'clock to get you into some college football action. Dan Ball with you. On the other side of the glass is my good friend Tom Crisafulli. Tom, good morning and Happy New Year. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year, Dan. Couldn't think of a better way to start my new year.
I am going to agree, just out of principle, because you never know which bosses are listening to this show, but how did you ring in your new year last night?
So I went to a friend's house, kept it low-key, because I knew I had to work this morning, and I wanted to be the responsible adult I claimed to be, and I was home by 12:15.
Look at you go. That is an impressive performance out of you. And if anybody important's listening, that's exactly what I did too. As a matter of fact, you know, I had a healthy dinner. You know, I read directly from the Bible, and then I went to bed early and was ready to start my day today. So that's what I'm going to go with. But
holy day today too, Dan. So good job with the Bible.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We were raring and ready to go last night, and really very, very responsible with a 3-hour solo shift coming up today. But regardless, hope everybody had a happy and safe New Year's Eve into New Year's Day. It's always a fun chance for folks to get together, especially in the post COVID world. I always feel like I value these excuses to get together a little bit more. But that is neither here nor there. As we get into 2025, it resets the slate for all of our teams here in Boston sports. As the calendar turns over to 2025, the Celtics are leaps and bounds, I would say, ahead of the rest of the three teams in Boston in terms of competitiveness and a chance to win a championship in 2025. Then you kind of find the Red Sox and the Bruins, I would say, in relatively even footing and relative lockstep in terms of, you know, they're going to be competitive, but you're not really sure they have the roster makeup to win a championship as currently constructed. And then there's 50 feet of crap, as Billy Bean would say, and then there's the New England Patriots. So it sets up for a 2025 where there is a very good chance that at least one team will win a championship or at least play for a championship at some point in the Boston Celtics. But past that, I don't think it's overly responsible to think that there's going to be multiple at this point. But it brings to mind the question, Tom, what is a New Year's resolution for the teams that we have in Boston? I mean, I think if we look at the Celtics kind of at the top of the ladder in terms of competitive teams in Boston right now, it would probably be irresponsible to not say go and win a championship in 2025 as your resolution, because we saw a perfect example of that yesterday. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show, of the absolute utter dominance of a very bad Toronto Raptors team. But they came off of a stretch of four losses over a six-game span, which was surprising, and I think showed that this group is certainly more human than maybe the one was last year. You're dealing with injuries. It's another year and another bit of hard miles on the bodies of guys like Horford and Porzingis and Drew Holiday, who was certainly a breath of fresh air to see him return to the fold yesterday. But in addition to those guys having those extra miles, and I think you're seeing them miss time and maybe not be quite as effective. Same can even be said for Sam Hauser, who's a younger player, but he's certainly dealing with his share of bumps and bruises. This team is still extremely talented. And what we saw coming out of that stretch of four out of six was a return and a showing of dominance that that kind of reestablishes to you, oh, all right, so they're going to go through maybe a couple of ruts that we didn't see last year, but this is still very much a championship caliber roster. So is my resolution of go back to back and win a championship too aggressive at this point?
No, I wouldn't say it's too aggressive, because they're absolutely championship or bust this year.
Yeah.
I went a little different route with my resolution for the Celtics, which is something you touched upon.
Yeah.
Get healthy.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself in this new year is what I put for them, because they are the most talented team in the league, in my opinion. They just aren't healthy. Al Horford's getting older. Drew Holiday's getting older. Kristaps Porzingis is just one of those players that's so tall and lengthy. He just has bad knees, bad ankles. Take care of yourself. A regular season game on NBA League Pass in March is not as important as a playoff game in May.
Yeah.
So take care of yourself. Tatum and Brown will play every game they can play, because that's how they're wired.
Right.
Kristaps Porzingis, don't feel like you need to come back too early from all these injuries.
No.
I was upset when he came back as early as he did.
Yeah.
I thought it was the wrong move to make when you know how important he is, especially when you look at how bad the interior defense has been so far this season.
Right.
Because again, Horford's older. Luke Kornet just isn't up to speed. It's the way he is. He seems like a great guy.
Yeah.
Just not the best basketball player. So my resolution for the Celtics is to get healthy, take care of yourself.
You know, we could all learn a thing or two from that resolution this year. You know, whether it's get a gym membership, start to eat healthy. You know, the New Year's that time to make that change. But it's true. And I mean, the one thing that we haven't really been able to see, this is something that John Lyons hits on from time to time, is because of the injury to Porzingis, and then when you tack on the time that's been missed by Drew Holiday and the time that's been missed by Al Horford, you really haven't seen the rotation for the Celtics remain consistent at any point in this season. That lineup that was so freaking dominant during their run to the finals last year hasn't really seen more than a couple of games together on the court. And, you know, yesterday was another example. Yeah, you win by 50, but you still didn't get to see Porzingis in that game. It didn't end up mattering. But again, Then you have Al Horford in the starting lineup. He plays 21 minutes, but he goes 0 for 7 from the field. So he was essentially a non-factor. He grabbed a couple of rebounds, but there's another game where, all right, we're starting back at zero. We'd like to, at some point, try to build up, hey, we've played 3 games, 4 games, 5 games, God forbid even 10 games together with the same rotation to just get that feel back of, hey, this is the 5-man unit that's going to win us another championship. You unfortunately just haven't had the chance to see that. So there's been a little bit of a lack of continuity in what you've had with this lineup that I think is also important to factor in when you see a team that's already lost 6 games at home. They're 13-6 at home, 24-9 overall. But again, it's a luxury to be able to complain about the health of your stars when you know that that's really the only major complaint that you could have. And the only major thing that should hold you back from making a run and getting to another championship. So I love health for that. I think that's absolutely perfect. The Celtics are, let's just say, thank God that they are who they are and they're doing what they're doing, because the rest of the scene in Boston is certainly a bit more up for debate. Going to the Bruins, the other tenant at TD Garden, a New Year's resolution for me is, let the kids play. I want to see more Fabian Lysell. He played 1 game. I thought he had an all right game. He wasn't a detriment. He immediately was part of a forecheck that led to a goal in his first shift. Yes, he made a couple of mistakes. And I saw in the comments from Joe Sacco after, like, you know, he didn't do anything in his debut that would prohibit him from being called up again. Okay, if he didn't do anything that's going to keep him out of the lineup, then why are we going to keep him out of the lineup? So I want to see more from Fabian Lysell, and I'd like to see more from Matt Patra. Give him a month, maybe six weeks to continue to catch fire down in the AHL, and then I'd like to see him a part of this team as well, because as good as this team is playing right now, and they also lost yesterday, so that kind of negates the comment. But they played hard against Washington. They split the couple of games they had with them. So you feel okay about what they did in totality against Washington. It was just kind of you scored one goal and then fell asleep, and it's basically from 5 minutes on in yesterday's game. So I say all that to say, I know that they're still a competitive team. They're near the top of the Atlantic Division at this point. They've certainly got a spark from Joe Sacco. Whatever was distracting them or keeping them from playing at their best under Jim Montgomery, it seems like they're in the process of shaking that out of their system. Jeremy Swayman is starting to look better. The rebounds are still an issue, but numerically speaking, he's making more saves than he was. He's making some of those high danger saves that you're used to seeing from him. So it's going in the right direction. I still don't think that this is a championship level team. I think you have a couple of championship level players, but I don't love where your depth is right now. And you also need to continue to have an eye on the future, because Brad Marchand isn't getting any younger. Charlie Coyle isn't getting any younger. Yes, Pasternak will be around, but you know, you need to surround him with other good players. I think it's been proven that, you know, Pasternak cannot necessarily create his offense on his own. You got to give him, I mean, a Bergeron type is incredible, or a Marchand type is incredible, but seems like, you know, he's starting to find his form. But you got to surround these guys with other proven commodities and other good players. And you have to start doing that through young talent, through drafting and developing, to try to build up the next core of championship level hockey in Boston that could possibly go past the Marchand era and go past guys like Coyle, who are starting to get a little bit older. So if it's Lysell, that's great. If it's Patra, that's great. And also, if it's making a trade for, say, send a player like Trent Frederick out, who's going to need a contract and, you know, may command more money than you're willing to give out at this point, recoup some draft assets and be ready to go back into the draft and maybe, God forbid, actually hit on a first-round pick at some point and try to restock the coffers. I don't necessarily trust Don Sweeney to do it. He's basically 0 for 10 years other than that Pastrnak pick and McAvoy as well. But McAvoy was the year before he took over, if memory serves. I don't trust them necessarily to do it, but you have to try because you right now are the only team in hockey that don't have one of your prospects representing your team at the World Juniors. 32 teams in the NHL, the Bruins are the only team with zero prospects at the World Juniors. That's sad, man. So whatever you can do to try to restock that a little bit and give some more chances to younger players and try to build up the next core that's going to take you for the next 5 to 10 years, I would be giving those opportunities in a year where you're competitive but maybe not a championship caliber team. But anything on the ice for you, Tom?
So my big thing with the Bruins, and you touch on a little bit here and there, but my big resolution for the Bruins is to take a good, hard look in the mirror and move on.
Oh.
You have some pieces, as you said. Pasta's in the prime of his career. Swayman's getting back to form. You don't have the right pieces around those two, and you don't want to miss your window with two really good players.
Yeah.
You have to take a look in the mirror and realize this team is not good enough to win a championship, and you're going to have to make some tough decisions in the very near future.
Yeah.
2025 is not going to be kind of the Boston Bruins. And I'm saying that on the very first day of 2025.
Yeah.
And I don't think 26 is going to be nice to them either. I think the Bruins have one of the more negative-looking futures for these Boston sports teams just because they're in that tough spot where they're good enough to compete but not good enough to win. And that doesn't net you good draft assets, and that means you have to be really good with your scouting and your draft selection, which Don Sweeney hasn't been, as we're very aware of.
Right.
So they're in a very tough spot, so I think you need to take a good hard look in the mirror and realize what you have isn't good enough. You have a lot of walls in your way to a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
The first one being the Florida Panthers, who you just aren't able to beat in the playoffs or the regular season.
Right.
And if you can't beat that team, you can't move on.
Right.
So you need to take a good hard look in the mirror if you're the Boston Bruins this year.
Here's a great point to kind of illustrate what you're saying. The Bruins have, of their forwards, just four forwards signed past this year. Pastrnak, Elias Lindholm, Charlie Coyle for one more year after this, and then Pavel Zacha for two. Brad Marchand is a free agent. Trent Frederick is a free agent. Cole Koepke, Justin Brazo, and Mark McLaughlin are your UFAs. And then you have four RFAs, Mark Kastelic, John Beecher, Oliver Wahlstrom, Morgan Geeky. None of the four of those players are going to necessarily command a major contract, but you are going through, you're continuing to go through a major transition as a franchise right now. And to your point, there is a way where you can avoid a rebuild, make it a retool, and still build around Pastrnak, McAvoy, and Jeremy Swayman, and make it where come the 25-26 season, maybe 26-27, according to your timeline, it's 26-27 will be the year to actually look forward to. You can build a competitive team again that's sustainable instead of kind of getting trapped in what you're in right now, which is overspend in free agency for players like, I don't know, pull a name out of your hat, Nikita Zadorov.
He's terrible.
Oh, my God.
He can't defend the goal.
Oh, my God. And I've heard comments about the coachability of the player, how there is the raw talent, but in terms of using that, the talent and the size and the physicality and all that to actually defend within a system and actually, you know, play off your partner and, you know, go from defending the goal to defending the corners and complete a breakout and all the kind of stuff you have to do within the Bruins system. You hear rumblings of, he doesn't really take to the coaching all that much. So, and it's a shame because there's a lot to, if you just look at the guy in a vacuum in front of you and don't watch him play, you go, oh, not only is that a perfect stay-at-home defenseman in the NHL, he's the freaking perfect Bruin. He's your next Big Z. I know he said he didn't want to be called that, but, like, look at the guy.
He has the physical attributes. It's just mentally he's not willing to commit to the system.
Right.
And that's what I almost put down for my resolution was figure out if Sacco's the guy for your head coach.
Yeah, that's so, also a good one.
They just, again, they have so much, like, the Patriots have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
But we seem to have a direction because we have our quarterback.
Yes, that's true.
The Bruins have a lot of questions because we don't really know anything. Who's the head coach? Is Sweeney good enough to be the GM?
And you don't have any flexibility to get out of where you are right now.
Are they going to be renting to the Celtics this year still? Like, they might need a new tenant in there, Dan. We don't know anything about the Bruins.
That's true. We know absolutely nothing. That's great. And that's also something that you love to tell the audience of a sports talk radio show. Well, let's hit quickly on the Red Sox, then we'll transition to the Patriots after the commercial break. The Red Sox from a New Year's resolution perspective, obviously get back to the playoffs is the free space on the bingo card. Do what you have to do. But I'm gonna take it in a bit more of a nuanced direction with mine. Start acting like you care about the fans that are paying to be in the building. And I know that we've had conversations about, you know, about the cash machine that is Fenway Park and the Boston Red Sox right now. But start acting in a way where you're rewarding your fans' patience. You're rewarding their fandom, their loyalty, their willingness to stick it out as you've gone through this post-2018 restocking of the cupboards. You've already blown your chance on not even necessarily Juan Soto, but you've blown it with Teoscar Hernandez, blown it with Corbin Burns, you've blown it with a number of big players in free agency. But just because in 2024 you didn't want to do it doesn't mean that somehow you could maybe start to turn the way that you act, and as maybe market value starts to go down, you start to get a bit aggressive. I'll qualify my Red Sox resolution with I don't think it's going to happen because nothing has changed unless, you know, John Henry had the New Year's ball drop on his head and all of a sudden he woke up a completely different owner. I don't think anything's going to change and actually make that happen, but you can certainly resolve to. And there are different ways to go about it. You can do it through trades and not have to, you know, commit 7 or 8 years and hundreds of millions of dollars to these free agents that you think are starting to get to the wrong side of their prime. You can trade for cost-controlled players. You can trade for young and upcoming front-of-the-rotation guys like a Jared Jones from Pittsburgh, for example, is a name that I've heard whispered around just because the Sox and the Pirates have done multiple deals to this point over the last year or so. Just please, for my own sanity, Tom, I just got here, and you can see across the glass, I'm wearing a Red Sox hat today. So, and I'm actually wearing a Red Sox quarter zip. I'm just wearing a vest over it because I didn't want to go double socks at this point. I love this team to death. I'm really excited to be here and to, you know, to go to Fenway on Fridays after our show and to be in studio there. I love baseball. I love going to Fenway. It's my favorite thing to do as a sports fan is be a spectator of the Red Sox. Stop making me feel bad about that. Stop making me feel bad about what I'm paying for and the fact that I am going to get a beer and overpay for my tickets and go watch this team play. And I'm going to suck it up and I'm going to eat my slop that you've been serving me the last couple of years. Stop making me feel bad about that. Make me feel better about myself in 2025. Boston Red Sox. That's me. What's you?
So I love that. I was really torn with this one because there's two routes I want to take it.
Okay.
And you kind of took it in the first route I was going to go, so I'll go with my second option.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My first one was to live a little and spend money. You can't take it when you go, so live a little. However, I really want them to have a really tough conversation with Rafael Devers and move him to DH. I think it's just...
That's a good one.
Take a look in the mirror. What does Devers do really well?
Yeah.
He hits missiles.
He does.
He's not...
It's bombs.
He bombs. Thank you. Dingers, whatever you want to call it.
Nukes.
We could go for hours back and forth. We have stuff to get to. However,
allegedly,
he's not the best third baseman.
That's right.
And after watching him injure his shoulder, making a diving play at third, your asset to us is your bat. We can find another third baseman, and I think we move him to DH. I think that solves a lot of problems. Focus on what you do really well, Devers.
Yeah.
That's what I want the New Year's resolution to be. Look inward there.
Yeah.
What does Devers do well?
Love that. I think that's a very wise one, and it helps you finally rip the Band-Aid off to fix what has been a real consistent issue, quietly a consistent issue with this team. As we talk so much about, you're not spending, you're not bringing in good players, blah, 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 blah. God, the infield defense has been awful because last year, your outfield defense was actually quietly very good. Duran had a great year. Rafaela showed that he's extremely versatile in what he can do. And Willier Abreu was a Gold Glover in right field. So you fixed part of that, but God Almighty, the infield defense without Trevor Story was just abysmal. So you're right. You have to start controlling the controllables and putting personnel in place that can actually field the ground ball and isn't a clown show over at one of your positions is a really great way to start. So I certainly do like that one. We'll switch the attention over to the Patriots on the other side of this break. You can join the conversation at any point, by the way, to ring in the new year with us at 617-779-7937. What's your resolution for your favorite Boston team, and how do you feel about the Patriots heading into their final matchup of the season against the Buffalo Bills? All that and more on the table here as we roll you up until 1 o'clock when we begin coverage of the college football playoff right here on WEEI. Plenty more to get to next, but first, here's my
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Friend Tom with What's Trending. All right, now that we have your attention back here on WEEI, we transition over to the New England Patriots. Week 18 of the NFL season is here. That is a merciful thing for fans of the Patriots as they go into their game against the Buffalo Bills. Before we talk about who's in and who's out, Vincenzo is in New Hampshire. Happy New Year, Vincenzo. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. What's going on?
Yeah. I was just calling, and because the Patriots, I think they need to sit everyone. They need to sit all their starters for the last game because there's no chance they win.
Yep.
I think they need to tank for the first seed in the draft. And then for the draft, I think they need to keep the number one pick, draft Travis Hunter or McMillian.
Okay.
And then trade next year's picks to go up in the draft and try to take a tackle in like a top five pick, because we can't take a tackle with the first overall pick.
Okay, Vincenzo, thanks for the call. Much appreciated. There's certainly a split. To go with the last part first in terms of where the Patriots go in the draft, there's a split, and honestly, there's more of a split than I would have expected, given that the Patriots don't need a quarterback. I would have expected more of a percentage of Patriots fans to be on the team trade down duck boat, for lack of a better term, than it seems like people are. I know how good of an athlete Travis Hunter seems to be. I've been going back and forth because I honestly don't think that there's necessarily a wrong way to go about it. You either get a really good player, a guy who seemingly has at least generational type athleticism. Now, what position he ends up playing is still up for debate. I am of the opinion that he will play corner and probably be a pretty good cover corner and also be a punt returner, kick returner. I mean, he gives you a lot of really interesting options in terms of kind of the gadget plays that you can run just based on the way that he's kind of constructed as an athlete. But I would think, based on just the reporting that's been out there, I do think back to the report from Jay Glazer where he said he surveyed 13 NFL executives and 12 of them said he projects out to be a corner. So that's all that to say, you're getting a very, very good player if you do choose to make that pick. However, you can address multiple needs with the draft picks that you could get if you're able to get an extremely quarterback needy team to trade with you. And I look at it simply as what makes you the most competitive the quickest. Is it adding Travis Hunter to a you know, to a cornerback room that has Christian Gonzalez. It'll be a young but very good and very promising cornerback room that you have on this roster. Or if you trade down, you get the lineman that you're looking for. There's a great piece from Tom Carroll on WEI talking about his and Chris Schein's opinions on what the Patriots should do here, and it does mention trading down for a specific lineman, so you can go read more about that on the website. But trade down. If you get into a position where you're in the 5-6-7 range, take the tackle, get another first-round pick, hopefully get a second-round pick in this year's draft. Stockpile assets in order to draft and develop those players. If you trusted the front office group that was in charge of doing that, that would be the right move. What I've kind of extrapolated from the group of people that want the Patriots to just suck it up and take Travis Hunter no matter where they are is partially, yes, we want a really good player, but we watched Elliott Wolf make the correct pick at number 3 when it was the obvious pick in front of him and then screw up the rest of the draft, by and large. So I think there's also part of that where it's, am I really going to trust that the front office group established with the Patriots are going to make the right trade and get enough value for what at the moment is currently slated as the number 1 overall pick? Or should we give Elliott Wolf another chance to make the slam dunk pick, so to speak, and just move on with our day and have him make the rest of the picks and whatever happens, happens? I'm still team trade down, and it's also extremely sad that we have to have the conversation of, yes, it may be the right move, but we don't trust the people that are going to do it. But I kind of think that's where we are at this current point. Okay. Before we get to everything draft related, which is going to dominate the conversation essentially from Monday morning next week all the way through the end of April and beyond, Patriots do have a game in front of them and some decisions to be made on who is going to be available, who's not going to be available. Right now, you know, Marcus Jones on injured reserve, Christian Barmore on injured reserve, among a number of other players, Juwan Bentley included. So your defense is already banged up. Right now, Jabril Peppers is listed as questionable, as is Christian Gonzalez, as is Ben Brown. For me, 1, 2, 3, have a great offseason. Here's a big fluffy coat. Here's an earpiece if you want to wear it. Have a great offseason. I don't want to see any. If you're any bit of banged up, and you could argue that all three of those players in some way, shape, or form would help you beat Buffalo, no thanks. You guys have yourselves a great offseason. Enjoy your spot on the sidelines. I think you have an opportunity when you're putting together your depth chart on Sunday to masquerade as, hey, we're just trying to give some guys an opportunity to see what we have while also working within the understanding of maybe we're not putting our best foot forward here. So if you could get another game for Cole Strange at center, actually allow him to build up some momentum going into hopefully a healthy offseason, that's great. That's not a detrimental move, but it does give a young guy a chance to get some more reps going into an important offseason. Same can be said for Caden Wallace. You put him in the fourth quarter of a blowout, let him play. That's a player I'd be giving consistent reps to if you get the opportunity to. And then your wide receiving dynamic duo of Javon Baker and Jalen Polk, see what you can make out of those guys. See if you can get them involved in any way, shape, or form, because each of those guys got one target last week. Again, I'm not saying that they deserve. This is not a deserve conversation. This is not that these two players deserve to be, you know, the featured receivers in your offense this week. I'm just saying that you can favor them in certain situations where otherwise you wouldn't. And at best, they have good games. Maybe it gives them a little bit of something to build on into an offseason where they're very much going to be fighting for spots on this roster next year. So at best, maybe you get something from them. And at worst, Oh, no, he dropped that pass. Oh, we're going to have to punt again. Oh, heavens, boy, it looks like we're not going to score on this drive. And, oh, geez, you know, the Bills have scored, so now we're losing this football game. Oh, man, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. I'm telling you, I think a lot can be taken from that, good or bad, where at best, maybe one of them, maybe both of them have productive games. You start to see a flash of something, and at worst, you lose the football game. You lock up the number one overall pick, and you do what at this current date, January 1st, 2025, Happy New Year, everyone. You do what on this current date is best for your franchise, which is give yourself the best possible draft pick and open up the many, many opportunities that having the number one overall pick when you don't need a quarterback presents to you. So that's at least where I would be going heading into this game against the Bills. If you have a young player and you have somebody who maybe you want to see something from, today's the day to do it. Or not today, but this week is certainly the week to do it for me. It's get those guys out there, get them running around. At best, you get something good. At worst, they're disasters like they have been all season. You lose the football game. You get the number one overall pick. This game against the Buffalo Bills is going to mean nothing after 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon for both sides, because the Patriots are going to turn right to the offseason and the many decisions they have to make, and the Bills are going to turn right to the playoffs to prepare for whoever the 7 seed is, for who they're going to be hosting in Orchard Park the following week. The main goal for both of these teams, without saying it out loud, is let's not get anybody hurt. The Bills are trying to get through this game healthy and intact and, you know, get some reps for the second and third stringers who aren't going to play in the playoffs. And the Patriots are also going for relative health. Maybe in the process, you can, get some observations for some players in actual game footage that you can use in your offseason, because then you're going to have to wait until August and September to get anything of substance done. And you can lock up the future. This game means nothing after 4 o'clock for both of these teams, but the result of a Patriots loss that can be aided by playing players like your young wide receivers more, the results are something that we are going to remember if it does end up being the Patriots with the number one overall pick. So it's tanking without being as obvious that you're tanking. It's tanking that's masquerading as giving the kids a chance to rule the roost. And I think it's responsible game planning to do that. As for the quarterback, Drake May should not even sniff a football this week. I am keeping him as far away from this game as humanly possible. Is it Jacoby Brissett? Maybe. Is it Joe Milton? That's where I'd go. Because again, you're in a purely observatory situation right now. It's unfortunate that you're in that spot, but it doesn't change the fact that you are. So you already know what Jacoby Brissett is. He's one game away from being a free agent and probably not being a Patriot again. I say probably, it's certainly not certain, but it's probable. You need to figure out if Joe Milton has enough to be considered to be your backup. So this is essentially kind of your second preseason, because it gives you a chance to get something on tape for these guys so that you can make decisions on their future as you have an inordinate amount of cap space, as you have this draft capital. The more that you can either trust or not trust these young players on their rookie contracts in different positions on your depth chart next year, the more flexibility you'll then have to do what I saw. I saw a great term on Twitter when talking about T. Higgins, which is pay the suck tax, which is what you're going to have to do to bring in some of these high-level free agents if you're actually going to take these big swings. You're going to have to pay it for a star offensive lineman. You're going to have to do it for a star wide receiver. You're going to have to overpay these players in order to entice them to come to Foxborough. So in order to do that, the more that you can kind of round out your depth chart with some of these young and cost-controlled players on their rookie deals, the more flexibility it gives you. So there's a lot of observations to be made from this game, and because the results, as long as it's a loss, doesn't really matter in any direction, you do have an opportunity in front of you to actually get some valuable information that can aid you in some very big off-season decisions that you're going to have to make. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Load up the lines to talk Patriots ahead of their week 18 game against the Buffalo Bills. We'll continue Patriots talk on the other side of this. 617-779-7937 is the number to join the conversation here on WEEI on New Year's Day 2025. Some Patriots draft talk upcoming with Matt in Rhode Island. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, I actually would think Joe Milton would have a better chance to win either. He would either get blown out or he would have a better chance to win the Bills game than Jacoby, in my opinion.
Any reason for that?
Just because he's got that playmaking ability, and you see what the other quarterback can do. Not much. So
that's fair.
I mean, with him running all over the place and just, you know, in that kind of scrappy game where, you know, Bills are playing inexperienced players, you know,
right?
He could have a day. I really don't think it's a bad idea though, either to make him a backup or to possibly shop him for someone that might be interested in a trade. But the reason why I called is in the draft, the previous caller, I know a lot of people are on Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
He's obviously a phenomenal athlete, and he is tough. Like, he's been targeted, and he's been hit hard, but I just don't know if he can, like, tackle in the NFL. And a cover corner, obviously, elite cover corners, you know, cover the best wide receiver, not do a heck of a lot of tackling, but, you know, when he does have to step up and, you know, tackle a running back, I just don't know how that's going to go for him. Shedeur Sanders as well. I'm not a big fan. He's tough as heck too.
Yeah.
I just think in this spot, you have to. People don't think they're going to get a big haul for those players, like in the trade, but I really think you do, because they do bring a lot of clicks to the team. So
right.
I would trade out of that spot and make sure you get it right. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, yeah. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for the call. Much appreciated, and happy new year to you. Yeah. I would end up being on Matt's side with that. And I think it's reasonable. You're also not going to have Travis Hunter covering whoever the best wide receiver is. That's the one spot on the roster other than cornerback where you're like, yep, set it and forget it, we're good, is cornerback one on your roster right now. So I think that's also actually a reasonable point to make when you're considering what should we do, is you are drafting the second cornerback on your depth chart. Now, again, that gives you, at least from a potential and athleticism perspective, an elite cornerback room. And it's not a reason not to take him, but it's one of the very few areas of your roster that you could say is a strength. So, again, just something to consider as this will continue to be, what are we? We're at January 1st now. The draft is in that last week of April. So get ready for 4 months of Patriots draft talk right here on WEEI. And, Matt, thanks again for the call. And that's my point on Milton. I agree with what he said. And I don't necessarily think that Joe Milton unequivocally gives you the best chance to win against Buffalo. I mean, he was 11 for 30 in the preseason. Yeah, he threw a touchdown. He certainly got the arm. I mean, he's got a cannon of an arm, but does he actually know where it's going? Can he throw to a let's call a spade a spade, a poor wide receiving core with an NFL caliber corner, even if it's a backup corner or a backup safety? You know, the Bills are deep on defense. They've had a ton of defensive injuries this year, and even their second stringers, guys like Cam Lewis and Kyrie Elam, have stepped up and been able to play at starter levels for this team. So it's not like you're dealing with schlubs on the second team for the Bills. And is Joe Milton accurate enough as a passer at the NFL level in order to do that? We don't have that answer. That's why you can have that proven on Sunday. And the one point that I do specifically agree with that he said is, you know exactly what Jacoby Brissett is going to bring to this offense. It's conservative. It's maybe a shot or two downfield, but it's dink, followed by dunk, followed by dink, followed by dunk, and then eventually you end up hunting. So if you want to try to ride the boom or bust big play potential of this young arm and see if you have something that's worthy of being a backup on the 2025 Patriots, I think it's an easy decision that you can make at the quarterback position. Or, you know, not that you're not making Jacoby Brissett inactive. If it doesn't work at the half, if you start Joe Milton and he's a disaster, throw Brissett in for the second half then. Again, the stakes are low in terms of the decision that you can make. So take what positives there are from it, which is the ability and the chance to observe what you have, and then you can go from there. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. A lot to get to here on this Wednesday, New Year's Day, in for Jones and Keefe. Celtics, winners by a bunch. Bruins, asleep at the wheel down in Washington, plus a report on the Red Sox and a potential package that could go back for a third baseman if the Red Sox were to live up to my good friend Tom's New Year's resolution and move Rafael Devers off of third base. All that plus your calls and texts at 617-779-7937. Hour number two coming up right after this.